Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Of course, I want to say something about Sarah Huckabee getting kicked out of the Red Hen restaurant and then Donald Trump's tweet. And also, we see the growing affirmation of what we have pointed out for 24 years here on Bob and Yurt Live, that democracy is the most divisive of all forms of government. Democracy is the most divisive, and some conservatives will say, we're not a democracy, we're a republic, we're a representative republic, and really they're just kissing cousins. The distinction isn't worth all that much. So I want to talk about those issues a bit later. Also, there is a pharmacist who has refused to fulfill a prescription that would kill the unborn child, and the woman is saying, my child is already dead. And so that's, of course, even at Walmart, the pharmacies at Walmart, they sell the Plan B morning after pill, which will kill a baby if a baby has been conceived, by making the uterine wall hostile so that a spontaneous abortion will be performed. It is something how whatever field you go into as a Christian who loves the Lord, wants to honor him, there will be tremendous conflict if you go into some of the major fields, certainly medicine, where they will try in all kinds of ways to get you to conform with the child killing, euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide culture of the American medical community industry, the medical industry. Also, if you go into law, you'll have the same problems because the law has been turned into a weapon against the innocent. And so that comes up relentlessly for Christians who are lawyers. And for the most part, it's almost impossible for a Christian to be a lawyer and to honor God. And typically, even the most famous Christian lawyers, when you look at the nuts and bolts of what they do, they end up with a string of victories, and you analyze each victory, like the partial birth abortion ban, the Masterpiece Cake Shop victory. You look at each one, and they end up being just colossal failures, stabbing the innocent in the back, the body of Christ in the back. So what a challenge to live in a nation that is at war with God. And so those Christians, conservative Christians, other conservatives who say, hey, we're winning, you know, like with child killing, they've been telling us we're winning for 30 years. How are you winning for 30 years? What would that, if we've been winning, what would losing look like? National Right to Life, they have a 300-year plan to end abortion in America. And so these issues are enormous, and the consequences, the ramifications for individual lives, for the church, for the nation, for the world, you can't overestimate the consequences, and that ideas have consequences. And we as Christians, we need to be experts on right and wrong. So I want to talk about Sarah Huckabee. Venezuela, we haven't discussed the crisis, the socialism in Venezuela. Lately, it was going on a couple years ago, we urged a humanitarian invasion of Venezuela to save thousands, if not a million people eventually from starvation. So that all tragically is going as expected. Now the latest is the socialist government can't afford to give people their free water. And so now the army is in charge of distributing the water, and they're trying to charge people who can't even afford to buy food hardly. So in people in Venezuela, they're still losing weight, the whole nation. You'd think it'd be good news. It'd be good news in America if on average we were losing weight. But it's evidence of the crisis in Venezuela. Also, I'd like to talk a bit about Friday's program when we discussed the plagiarism accusations that were being made against our favorite scientist, Dr. Walt Brown. All scientists work for Walt Brown. Another WWB discovery, another working for Walt Brown discovery. We've been doing this for many years on the show, explaining how Dr. Walt Brown's discoveries have helped us understand the history of the world and the solar system in such exciting ways, so that discovery after discovery, we have this advantage as Bible-believing Christians interested in the physical world that God has made. We have this advantage. We can better understand science than can the atheist, the materialist, the secular researcher, or the secular science journalist. They're at this incredible disadvantage. They're always confused, and major discovery after major discovery has them baffled, saying they have to go back to the drawing board. Whereas, hey, it's exciting to learn new things, but if your overall theoretical framework is correct, the exciting and new things you find should be consistent with your overall theoretical framework. But as we have documented on our website, rsr.org/shocked, all the shocked evolutionists, the shocked atheists, the most hysterical responses from discovery after discovery, because it's not only something new and different, which is always exciting, but often the major discoveries are exactly the opposite of what they expected based on their theory. So that pattern of the unexpected results contradicting the most fundamental aspects of their secular theories, that pattern is an indication that their theories are wrong. And time again, we are so excited to see the results because they are, even on the surface, they're affirming our expectations. There we go. Yet another working for Walt Brown discovery. So much fun. So Friday was the fourth in our series. June is Grand Canyon month at Real Science Radio. Five Fridays this month. So this coming Friday, June 29th, will be our final program. And we're going to discuss, now that we've laid out, we've gotten to the point where we've laid out the initial conditions, what you would have seen in Arizona if you were looking and observing before the Grand Canyon was formed, what you would have seen and how those conditions came to be, which are very difficult for a secular geologist to explain. Like hundreds of millions of years of the deposit of sediments with virtually no evidence of erosion in the boundaries between the layers, the flat gaps that go for thousands of square miles. So that kind of thing that we explain so very well, it's just the natural expectation from our understanding of Earth's history, and we expect what they are baffled by. And so before we got to the science on Friday's program, I did the first half on the accusations within the creation movement. Years back, when Dr. Walt Brown, our favorite scientist, had discovered Grand Lake, that there was an ancient lake north of the Grand Canyon to the northeast, and it was massive. We now know that it was twice the size of Lake Michigan. And it had long been recognized that there was an ancient lake to the east of the Grand Canyon. And it had been proposed that that lake may have breached and carved out the Grand Canyon, but it was a very rudimentary proposition, just a vague idea, and that's it. So what Walt brought to the table was the discovery of a second Great Lake, which he named Grand Lake, the elevation 5,700 feet above sea level, and the exact point where it breached its natural boundary, And then the escaping lake waters catastrophically carved out the Grand Canyon. But before they did that, there was the nearby Lake Hopi Lake, which was also the size of one of our Great Lakes, and the floodwaters escaping from Grand Lake undercut Hopi Lake, and so both Great Lakes together catastrophically drained out, carved out the Grand Canyon. Well, when Walt Brown discovered these things in the late 1980s, after a century of intense work by geologists to try to figure out how did the Grand Canyon form, and it's the insights brought about by the hydroplate theory, which is based on the Book of Genesis, the fountains of the great deep, understanding of the global flood, the watery fountains of the great deep, breaking forth worldwide, flooding the earth. And when you begin with that understanding, that Genesis is being rather literal here in explaining how God created the earth with the waters below the crust and the waters above the crust. And then a few chapters later, it's those waters that broke forth in the fountains of the great deep, came up from under the crust, flooded the earth. You begin to see all that. You understand all that. And then it's like taking off blinders, and there are scores of dramatic geological features around the earth, in fact, even in the earth and through the earth, that now we can understand. Because from the insight of the initial conditions, then everything else makes sense. And that's why we keep sticking this old wooden sign on like Comet 67P when human beings land a craft on a comet. And what do they find? They find exactly what Dr. Walt Brown predicted based on a literal acceptance of the Book of Genesis and the global flood that was affirmed by Jesus Christ, that there was a global flood, survived only by Noah and his wife and their three sons and their three daughters-in-law. So that's what we're talking about. Walt Brown discovers this Grand Lake, the elevation, the breach point. And another very well-known creation scientist, a geologist, Steve Austin, he then begins teaching pretty much the same thing. He's about to become mega famous because of his work at Mount St. Helens, which work was brilliant. So he's about to become mega famous, but then there's the Grand Canyon, which he has done a lot of work trying to understand the Grand Canyon. And how could Dr. Walt Brown, who's not even a geologist, he got his PhD from MIT, incredibly prestigious. He's got these impeccable credentials and scientific background, career, but he's not a geologist. He's studied geology. He's done field work at the Grand Canyon. But how could a non-geologist understand this? So Steve Austin begins, he adopts Walt Brown's particulars and how Walt discovered how the Grand Canyon formed, and does it without giving credit to Walt. So Walt is hearing back, and I apologize that Real Science Radio is spilling over into Bob and Yurt Live on a Monday, but I'd like to share with you an email chain from a few of the folks that I mentioned on Friday's program, Jane Albright, Kevin Lee, and Rob Yardley. Rob is a board member for, you know, Through the Bible Radio Network with J. Vernon McGee, Get on the Bible Bus. I've been listening to J. Vernon McGee for 40 years. What a fabulous Bible teacher. Well, Rob Yardley is on the board, one of the directors for the Through the Bible Radio Ministry of J. Vernon McGee. And so these three mentioned in the program, one of them, who started it, Jane Albright, she emailed me and a handful of others, including Kevin Lee and Rob Yardley. So I'd like to share with you a bit of that email chain, and then we'll get back to Sarah Huckabee and the Red Hen. But what has happened is that the very bad behavior against Dr. Walt Brown by leaders in the creation movement has, of course, harmed the creation movement itself. Tremendous tension, completely unnecessary. And so much of it is because We want to get the credit. We want to get the donations. We want to get the influence. We want our ministry to be larger than this other ministry. And as a result, that kind of thinking can harm the overall progress of serving the Lord and reaching our neighbors. It can, of course. So that's also true of Denver Bible Church and Bob and Yurt Live and Real Science Radio. So what we have done consciously to counteract that is we have hundreds of times we have made an effort to promote competing ministries. Ministries that we compete with for, you know, they say eyeballs and for ears, for readers, for listeners, for donations. We have promoted other ministries because we don't want this to bring down Real Science Radio or to bring down Bob and Yurt Live. So let's see. Jane Albright sends an email to me, Kevin Lee, Rob Yardley, a handful of others. And, you know, I'm going to skip through this email chain. I'm going to go to, because on the show, I mention Jane Albright, and she is a professional engineer. She works for, she works in Europe, part of the, you know, basically the army of engineers who represent America's interests abroad, working either directly or indirectly for the government, the military. So that's what Jane Albright is doing right now. She used to be with the U.S. Navy's nuclear engineering program, and now she's still working for us over in Europe. And so she sends this email out, and on the show I mentioned Jane Albright, what a sharp gal, and what she did. She documented some of the slander against Walt Brown by recording interviews with leading creationists, like the president of CRS, Creation Research Society, Don DeYoung, Dr. Don DeYoung, who we love. He spoke at Denver Bible Church. We appreciate him greatly, but he says, Walt Brown, you can't trust Walt Brown. He sued, or he tried to sue, Henry Morris, ICR, Steve Austin. And Jane says, well, Don, I'm intimately familiar with what transpired. Walt Brown never threatened to sue them, and he never, oh no, you're wrong, I have the documentation. Well, Don, I know that that's not true. Well, you're wrong, and I have the documentation. Well, Dr. DeYoung, could you give me the documentation, share it with me? No, I can't do that. Well, could I get Walt Brown on the phone and the three of us, you could talk directly? No, I'm not going to do that. All right, so Don DeYoung should apologize to Walt Brown and to the creation movement. He should apologize for that slander, repeating gossip about Walt Brown. So at any rate, Jane sends this email. Kevin responds. Rob Yardley responds. Let me start there. Rob Yardley. And again, he was the treasurer for Chuck Smith, you know, the founder of Calvary Chapel. There's, what, 1,000 Calvary Chapels around the country? They started in Costa Mesa, California. I studied the Bible there for a year. Loved Chuck Smith. He's with the Lord now. And Rob was the treasurer for Chuck Smith's church there in Calvary Chapel, the Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, treasurer for years. And he's on the board of other amazing Christian ministries. So he replies to this email chain and writes, Dear Bob, I did not think it possible to give an effective 22-minute summary of the plagiarism history, but you did it. And your touching tribute to Steve Austin. Now, Steve, in the story, he's the bad guy, right? He's the bad guy. He's the guy who wronged Walt Brown. And to this day, there is terrible tension and this impediment to progress in the creation movement because of Dr. Austin. But still, giving him credit for where credit is due, Rob Yardley says, Bob, your touching tribute to Steve Austin for his Mount St. Helens video and gospel presentation makes it clear that you are not biased in this matter. And like Jane, I felt the "Jane is a bright gal" comment was the highlight of the show. So Jane Albright, right? She responds. Everybody, of course, is interested in what was broadcast on Friday. And Jane points out, you know, I mentioned Jane being this sharp gal, and she quotes that. And, you know, I especially like the part about Jane Albright being a sharp gal. Ha, ha, ha. So Rob says, and just like Jane, that comment was the highlight of the show. And so Rob thanked the producers of Real Science Radio, including Brian Nickel, who has been the star of this Grand Canyon series this month, for taking on such a difficult subject. And Rob said very knowledgeably, he said it may make it harder for Real Science Radio to get creation science guests in the immediate future. But in the long run, this could be very helpful in allowing us to reach a reconciliation between Dr. Walt Brown, ICR, that's Henry Morris's group still in Dallas, Texas, the Institute for Creation Research, and AIG, Ken Ham's group, Answers in Genesis, and CRS, that's Dr. Don DeYoung's Creation Research Society, and any of the other creation ministries out there. Yours in Christ, Rob. So Kevin Lee responds. In fact, he had an earlier response I'll read to you in a moment. But then Kevin, he loved how the entire show, including the plagiarism segment, was put together. But he said, really, Bob's wisdom came through in how he downplayed Jane's intelligence, knowing that if he told the whole truth, it would go to her head. And so Rob responds, humility doesn't come easily to those with surpassing intellects like Jane Albright. And Jane's on the chain, you know. So she responds, so true, so true, which is just so fun and so enjoyable. So Jane started this thread saying that, wow, now I can't wait for the finale. The fifth segment in June is Grand Canyon Month at Real Science Radio. Brian Nickel came on Friday to lay out the initial conditions from just before the Grand Canyon was carved out. Can't wait for next week. And then Jane said, regarding covering the elephant in the room at the beginning of the program, how important to lay out the truth clearly, but also graciously. So these people who have wronged Dr. Walt Brown, still to recognize all that they've done for the body of Christ and to reach so many unbelievers with God as the creator and with the evidence, as the book of Hebrews says, the evidence for God as the creator in Romans chapter 1 and the Psalms and Genesis itself, that God is the creator, and what we can clearly see from the creation tells us that God exists. It's not a probability that God exists. It's a certainty that God exists. People who think, even Christians who think, well, you can't prove that God exists, they're wrong. God does not send people to hell forever for rejecting something that might be true. People who turn away from God, they're rejecting something that is certainly true and that they know is certainly true, that God exists. So Kevin Lee responded to Jane's initial email, and he said, this is a great day. We have optimism for ICR and AIG. They have never repented for how they have mistreated Dr. Walt Brown. And there's a lot more beyond what we've discussed. But they've never repented, perhaps now with Brian's incredible animation in his Grand Canyon video, the Hydroplate Theory in the Grand Canyon, which you can see at rsr.org. It's right there embedded in Friday's show summary, Brian's awesome video on the origin of the Grand Canyon, and dealing with the elephant in the room so carefully laid out. Hopefully, Ken Ham, Don DeYoung, Steve Austin, hopefully these guys will do what is right and get this sad part of the history of the creation movement behind us. Okay, so that was all real encouraging to hear from those guys. And a little bit, I'm sorry that Real Science Radio spilled over into Bob Benyart Live, but these things have far-reaching consequences. And so we want our wider audience to recognize. You know, when Dr. Austin started using Walt Brown's discovery, and then for years, basically presenting it as his own discovery, and then in Dr. Walt Brown hearing this, and then hearing that Steve was telling people that Dr. Walt Brown took Steve's discoveries, so that Walt Brown stole this from Steve Austin, he's plagiarizing Steve Austin, that's when Walt could no longer just be silent, because there are too many consequences when things, they begin to spiral out of control. And sure enough, we got the mess that we're in right now. So hopefully, it will be resolved when we see the Lord, but it glorifies him more if we could resolve these broken relationships here on earth before we see him. Okay, Sarah Huckabee, she goes with her relatives to a restaurant, a couple hours away from the White House in Virginia, the Red Hen restaurant, and she was kicked out. It happened calmly, but she was kicked out of the restaurant, not by crazed lefty protesters, but by the crazed lefty owner and the staff of the restaurant. They told her, you know, we have standards, you have to leave. So our nation, our culture is increasingly fractured. And it's a result, it is a direct result of our representative republic. It's not a good form of government. We discussed this at length. Go to kgov.com/government, and you can see how we have handled this. What is a good form of government, a representative republic, is a very bad form of government. Now, Donald Trump, he put out a tweet on this, and of course, we always remind people that even if Trump says something funny, we laugh, ha-ha, it's funny. But remember, he's given $1 billion to those who kill children. But here is Donald Trump's tweet. He tweeted, "The Red Hen restaurant should focus more on cleaning its filthy canopies, doors, and windows, badly needs a paint job, rather than refusing to serve a fine person like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I always had a rule. If a restaurant is dirty on the outside, it's dirty on the inside." And that is a zinger, right? And that zinger will also remind about 1 million restaurateurs, hey, make sure the place is cleaned up. It will just do that. You know, truth has a way of doing that. Hey, kgov.com/Italy. Join us if you can in October. This is Bob Benyart. May God bless you.
The Plot, in book, audio, and a version for kids. The overview of the Bible is the key to its details. Get The Plot at our store at kgov.com.